We're continuing our series on Parakletos, Helper or the Holy Spirit. We had a Bible study last Friday night in our Next Gen ministry, and many of you joined in. And the topic was about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and I'll explain more later, but it goes something like this. Do not get drunk in wine, because it leads to debauchery, which means reckless or dissipation. Just ruin your life. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a command, and it's a loving command from the Lord. And I was preparing this week, past week, thinking that that's probably the most important command there is for Christians. And you would probably argue with me, no, it isn't. Isn't go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that more important command? I think that is the Great Commission, but without being filled with the Holy Spirit, would you even consider doing it? Right? What about love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? You know, with all you got, and love your neighbors as yourself, which is the first and greatest commandment. Isn't that greater? Absolutely. However, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't think you will even want to do that, or you can't do that. Do you get my point? I think this command of the Scripture, which I think it is possible, that's why it is commanded, be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of getting intoxicated with alcohol, I say it is one of the most important, if not the most important, command in the Bible. And today we are dealing with a third passage of Parakletos in John's Gospel. For those of you who are joining in for the first time, I want to remind you, this section is so interesting because this is only a day before his departure, his death, and final sermon. And he speaks about Holy Spirit all over the place. Isn't that interesting? Okay? So today, the title of the message is Parakletos number 3, Helper. He will bear witness about me. Wow. It's such an important, powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because he bears witness about Jesus. What is a witness? What is a witness? A witness is someone who has the knowledge of a person or an event from personal experience or observation. Now, in the original meaning of the word witness, martus, martyr, the English word martyr comes out. Martus is someone who testify or witness in the legal sphere. So you can't really make up things in the legal sphere, who speaks from personal experience and knowledge. And here's a question for you. How well does the Holy Spirit know Jesus? How much experience does the Holy Spirit have Jesus? You may laugh at me. Why do you ask that kind of, you know, non-answerable question, but that is exactly what theological thinking is. And we are right away bringing us the relationship between Trinity, right? Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. And I'm reminded of that verse from 1 Corinthians. Who knows the mind of that person better than his spirit? And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the person of Christ. And in terms of a longevity or the duration, how do they experience one another? How do they know each? How long do they know each other? Pretty long, eternity. What was their relationship? Triune God intimacy of loving. Does that qualify him as the Spirit of Jesus who testifies Jesus? You get the point, right? So it is a very, very important ministry and for us to understand, because Christianity, if you read Book of Acts is the historical book in the New Testament, and the theme is about witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The theme is about witness. The book, which is God's history, does not revolves around Roman Empire or the greatest church, but it involves around witnesses, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to introduce Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon his people, just like what was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. And I find this such an amazing preaching. Okay, this is Peter preaching. And if you remember John 21, Peter, this is a different kind of Peter on the day of Pentecost. And this is what he preached. Peter preached describing what happened on that day. Verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. There's a word. But being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this. Who's he? Jesus, right? He poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. That's what this Pentecost is. And then the next verse, listen to this. Let all therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Wow. I think that just finished the case. Okay? The evidence, the proof of him, his lordship and being the Messiah, Savior, Christ, is outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all believers. I thought about this last week. For God so loved the world, he gave his son to the world. And God so loved Christians and his children, he sent and he gave his spirit. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Right? Pretty big statement. So that as an introduction, I want to ask you a question. Where did this witnessing or testifying of Jesus started? Where did it start? Okay? Where did it start? Who started? Who started it? And in John chapter 5, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, as he was arguing and just, you know, people hated him. We just, you know, read John chapter 15. The world hated Jesus. This religious people who, without Christ, hate Christ. And as he was arguing with them, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 37, and the Father who sent me has himself, listen to this, bear witness about me. So where did it begin? It began from the Father. Now, Father bear witness, Holy Spirit bear witness, and the saints and the church bear witness about Christ, talking about supremacy of Christ. It is all about him. If you go to Africa, there is a song called Jesus Number One. Anybody remember this song? Would you say amen if you do remember? So I don't look like a fool. Anybody remember this song? Yeah, some of you remember. And the song goes on for 20 minutes. Africans repeat. They sing Jesus Number One, and that's the only lyric. Jesus number one, Jesus number one, Jesus number one. And just it goes on for 20 minutes. And you know what? It's exciting, but that is the truth. Okay, that is the truth. So it started with the Father, and now he sent his son, and son is about to be ascended, and he's sending the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Parakletos, and he's going to bear witness through his people and through the church. And if you're a Christian, you are the saints and the church. And that is what your life is about, to bear witness through your entire life, isn't it? Now, I want us to go to today's text. I know we read, starting from verse 18, talk about the hatred of the world toward Jesus and the disciples. But my main passage for today is verse 26 and 27. This is the third Parakletos passage. And the context or immediate context of this passage is the hatred of the world. Okay? It's not just 21st century in North America. This is what Jesus said in first century in Palestine. I just want to read a couple of verses. Verse 18. If the world hates you, disciples, Christians, know that it has hated me, Jesus, before it hates you. Do you get the point? They hate you because of me. And verse 19. If you were of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. And it's real. It's real. Unregenerate mind hate the truth, hate the reign of God, hate to repent. They love the darkness more than the light. In this context, Jesus taught, but the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause, from Psalms. And then the Parakletos passage. But when the helper comes, Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, who proceeds from the Father. If you notice, the from the Father is repeated twice. Emphasis. He's the one who started of testifying Jesus, and he's the one who's doing the sending. But here, Jesus saying, I will send it to you. And we just read in Acts chapter 2 that it is Jesus sending from the Father. So which is it? Is it Father or is it the Son? It's both, okay? That's a huge theological question, by the way, in Christian history. The Eastern Church and Western Church split it because of that question. Is it from the Father or is it the Father and the Son? Never mind, okay? Not that important. But it is from the Father. And another title, he's the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, and only one ministry. He will bear witness about me. Now, what does that mean? Okay? What does that mean? What does it mean that Parakletos bear witness about me? Two things, and this is a very, very important, I say everything is important. Everything Jesus taught is important, but this is a very, very important doctrine and theology you need to understand. What does it mean when Bible says, and Jesus said, Parakletos, bear witness about me? Two things. Number one, first, it was the Holy Spirit in directing and guiding and writing the book of the New Testament and the Old Testament. That just separates from everything else. And we began to talk about it last week when we were talking about John chapter 14. Parakletos, or helper, will teach you all things and bring you back to remembrance all that I have said to you. Remember that? That's primarily to the 11 apostles and disciples, because during the ministry of Jesus, they didn't quite get it. A lot of times they didn't get it, so they wanted to have like high position. They were fighting. They didn't quite get it about his death, resurrection, and coronation, and ascension, and all of that they did not understand. But when Jesus was glorified, sent his Holy Spirit, they remembered. They remembered and understood what Jesus has taught, and they got it, and they recorded it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and that's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the writing of the New Testament. Very, very important work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Scripture is written by the Spirit. It's God himself. And the truth that comes, that was revealed, is Christian gospel-centered around Jesus. If you open the Bible and the Holy Spirit ministers to you, you will begin to see Jesus in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay, so we call that inspiration, but second one is what I wanted to emphasize today, which applies to all of us. The second meaning of Parakletos, bear witness about Jesus, is the fact that Holy Spirit now, right now, still continues to bear witness by speaking through the Bible to you today. Okay? The experience of this truth is what is at the center of Protestant Reformation. Okay? When the Reformers spoke of the unique authority of the Scripture by using that phrase, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, what they meant was more than just simple idea that God had revealed through the Scripture, therefore it is the authority. It is not the Pope, it is not the tradition, but it is the Scripture. And of course, that is true, but that's not all they meant when they said sola scriptura. What they meant was this. Now listen to this. Bible interprets itself to his people. Now you say, of course, but not during, before the Reformation. People thought it was through the person designated as Pope or the tradition. Now, interesting thing was, before the Reformation, preaching was done in what language? Latin, which is a language that only the educated of the educated, could understand. Can you imagine, you come to church during this lockdown and pandemic, and you know, you came because you really want to worship the Lord and hear the Lord, and let's say I preach in, I don't know, in French, okay, which I don't speak. Merci beaucoup. You know, I don't know. Like, I began to preach in French, and nobody understand. Nobody understand. Can you imagine that kind of worship? How do you know him, and how do you have faith without hearing the word of God? But before the Reformation, the church was so corrupted, that's what they were doing. And they were selling salvation. I explained to you before, you know, you watch Martin Luther's movie. It's so interesting. There were evangelists. They would sell salvation for your grandmother who passed away 100 years ago. Okay? Sale goes on today, the preacher would say, to just collect money. If you pay $100, your grandmother who passed away 100 years ago, who is in hell level 3, will go up to hell number 2. Sale is only for today, and they used to preach things like that, completely out of the Scripture. Can you imagine that? But without the Scripture, how are you supposed to know? So this teaching of sola scriptura and the fact that Bible interprets itself to God's people was huge. Holy Spirit witnessed to you through the Scripture. He's the author. He wrote it. He knows the mind of God. He is testifying Jesus. And when you read the Bible, Holy Spirit interprets itself to God's people. And that's how Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, Melanchthon, all these reformers experienced. Okay? Due to the fact that Holy Spirit continues to speak through the Bible to the hearts of the believers. And reformers call this internal witnessing of the Holy Spirit, and that goes on right now. That goes on right now. To some of us, yeah. Let's get over with this so we could go out for pizza. I don't know. But for some of you, your ears are paying attention. You find yourself drawing to what is being shared here through the teaching of the Scripture. Parakletos is central in history, in John Owen's division of history, Old Testament chapter 1, Gospels chapter 2, and the rest of, after the Jesus' ascension, chapter 3. We are living in chapter 3, final chapter, the era of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you're just living an empty life. There's nothing. The difference between Christian and non-Christian is God, the Holy Spirit. That's a huge difference, isn't it? We're living in the final chapter where the Holy Spirit is in the center stage and the church is in the center stage. Church is the believers, the saints. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul called Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ. Do you hear it? And he stated very clearly, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to me, belong to him. And you may be thinking, Pastor, why do you repeat that kind of thing all the time? Two reasons. Number one, if you are already in Christ and walking with the Holy Spirit, my prayer is that you would fall in love with him. You would obey him. You would be guided by him. You would listen to him. Right? That you would have a great desire to live for him. On the other hand, if you don't have Christ and the Spirit of living God in you, my prayer is that as you're here, listen to this, I don't want to say tease, but I don't want to, as I share this, pray that you would have a great desire. I want to know him. I don't want to live an empty life. I want to live that empowered life with the person of God and the Holy Spirit. That's just a prayer. So we see that Parakletos, or Helper, Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ who bears witness about Christ. And we will see it next week. He magnifies and glorifies Christ. How do you know this thing is happening, this preaching is happening, this event is happening, that it is the Holy Spirit? I think one sure way of doing that is Christ being revealed and glorified? Or is that the man who gets glorified? Or is this all these weird events? I think what the one sure way of this discerning whether it is the Spirit of God or not is Christ being magnified and glorified. Okay, so this ministry of Holy Spirit is rather important. And I want to give you two real examples from the Scripture itself where the Spirit of God is witnessing through the men and women of the Spirit. And I hope it's your story and my story as well. Okay? Acts chapter 8, a deacon named Philip, Acts chapter 8, and the Spirit of God gives him a specific instruction about this witnessing story. And this is the instruction. Hey, Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Right? So the Spirit of God tells this person, Philip, rise, get up, go toward the south and to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that's a desert place. And so he went. He obeyed and went. And he saw Ethiopian eunuch, right? Ethiopian eunuch. Now, where is Ethiopia? It's Africa. This is about first African convert. Maybe there was before, but this is about a convert of an African. It was a eunuch who had a high official position of the queen of Ethiopia, and he was on a chariot, and he was a God-fearer, worshiping the Lord, and he was going back to his country, and he so happened that he was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. How do you like that? Which is about suffering, servant, or the Lamb of God. So interesting. And verse 29, it says, Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. Do you mean to say Holy Spirit really speaks? Bible says yes. He's a person. What language? I don't know. He speaks all language. But he spoke to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So he did. Ethiopian eunuch asked him to hop on to my chariot. And he was reading Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. And Philip asked this question. Hey, I don't know. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, How am I supposed to understand without someone guiding me and teaching me? And then as I was reading, the eunuch asked Philip, who is this is talking about? Right? Who is this passage talking about? Is it talking about the prophet, or is it talking about, who is he talking about? And verse 35, listen carefully. Philip then opened his mouth, beginning from this Isaiah 53, which was written 650 years ago of Jesus, beginning from their Old Testament, and he told the eunuch, him, the good news about Jesus. That's the work of Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's the bearing witness, testifying of Jesus, of the Spirit of God and the man of God. I don't know, like when you read a story like this, what kind of emotion you get. Oh man, that's just the Bible. No, it's not. I think this is written so that we will be stirred. There may be internal witnessing of the Holy Spirit within us as we are reading this. Perhaps I need to walk with the Holy Spirit and be obedient to Him. Okay, one more example. One more example from Acts chapter 16. And this is really, I love this story. Okay, Acts chapter 16 is a huge continental dividing chapter because Paul and Silas, during his second missionary journey, they wanted to minister in Asia Minor, which is Turkey, which is Asia. But Holy Spirit stops them. So Holy Spirit would not allow them. And then they wanted to go east, but Holy Spirit made them turn toward west. And then there is a Macedonian call, which is the work of Holy Spirit. And they went to Macedonia, which is the northern Greece, a European continent. The first time the gospel went to Europe was led by the Holy Spirit. And they went to the city of Philippi, and there are Thessalonica, Berea, and Philippi. They went to the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and it was on a Sabbath day, Paul and Silas went out to witness. Now listen, went out to witness to a bunch of ladies, women, right? And verse 14, a woman named Lydia from Thyatira, and I'm not sure whether you get this, because Thyatira is from Asia Minor. Wait a minute. That's exactly where the Holy Spirit stopped them from going and sent them to Macedonia. But this woman is from Thyatira doing a business trip in Philippi, and her nature of business was selling purple goods, which means a royal, expensive clothing and things like that. Sort of like Louis Vuitton, I guess, of that time, right? But isn't it amazing? This woman who was on a business trip, I don't know, or immigrated from Thyatira, and then they meet, and there's a work of Holy Spirit, and it is written this way. Are you listening? Verse 14, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. You know, I really believe, I really pray that's what's happening right now. Lord, may open someone's heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. Okay? And that's exactly what internal witnessing of the Holy Spirit is. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not understand. Without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't sound very important. In fact, can I be honest? Without the Holy Spirit, you don't like what you're hearing, because Scripture continues to offend you. Scripture continues to convict you, and you don't like it. Unless the work of Holy Spirit drawing you to the truth, you just don't want to hear it. Okay. So there are two examples of work of Holy Spirit by saints who are men or women of Holy Spirit. I'm sharing this with you because either you live with the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the world. Last Friday, we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we talked about alcohol, and we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's exactly what the Scripture kind of compares. Isn't that kind of interesting? Do you like alcohol better or Holy Spirit better? What kind of question is that? Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which is debauchery, which will lead you to wreck your life, dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is that comparison. And I was reading Martin Lloyd-Jones some time ago, and I was reading about this passage, and it's so interesting because Martin Lloyd-Jones was a medical doctor before he became a pastor. Okay, not a dentist, but medical doctor. Right? So he writes about alcohol, and he said, if I were to write about Holy Spirit on a pharmacological book, I categorize it as a stimulant. Is that right? Okay, because alcohol is depressant. And he describes like this, alcohol affects your higher brain. I know I'm speaking in front of many doctors, but alcohol affects the higher brain, something called medulla oblongata. I'm not making this up. Okay, you could Google this. And it knocks out your cognitive system, your ability to understand, your ability to rationalize, and you become depressed. And he describes it. What happens to the person who continue to get drunk and drunk and drunk? You get depressed, and you live more like an instinctive, by your instinct, like an animal, like a brute beast of Psalm 73. But the scripture is saying, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when the Holy Spirit takes you over? Instead of depresses you, it stimulates your mind. It stimulates your desire to live for Him. It stimulates your vision. It stimulates everything. We are called to live as witness, relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, friends. Okay? Therefore, God continues to tell His people, walk with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Parakletos is the Spirit of truth. And I want to explain this particular passage. Who testifies the truth. Without the Holy Spirit, you really cannot discern what is true and what is not. There are many teaching and theology out there which sounds pretty good, but it is contrary to the scripture. But a lot of times, you know, if the world embraces that, I mean, that's expected. But when the church embraces that, that's not good. Why is that? Without the Spirit of truth, you really cannot. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Okay. So it's John later wrote, 1 John, it is the Spirit who testifies because, listen, Spirit is the truth. Did you hear that? It is the Spirit who testifies, witness, because Spirit, Parakletos, is the truth. And then it goes on to say, for there are three that testifies, the Spirit, and water, that refers to baptism, that union with Christ, and the blood, referring to the cross. All these three agree. And then listen to this. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. So what is the testimony of God? For the testimony of God, this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. You know what? We know what God testifies. You know what the Holy Spirit testifies. You know what the true believers and true church testifies? The Son. The person of the Son. The work of the Son. Magnifies the Son. Glorifies the Son. That's what the scripture teaches. God testifies the Son. Holy Spirit testifies the Son. His baptism and His blood, His cross testify the Son. His followers, His lovers, believers, saints, the church, testify the Son. Do you get that? My friends, we're talking about real supremacy of Christ. I just want to finalize, just kind of like put everything together. Parakletos is sent by Father and the Son to testify about Christ. And He is leading the history right now, people. It's not so much about you becoming a medical doctor, having a good family, or vacation. How do you have meaningful, purposeful life without understanding that? Without the Spirit of God, you will never obey Him anyway. And we are called to testify to the hating world. That's the context. And you feel it. Okay? You can't do it on your own, but with the Holy Spirit, we could. And we will. Just like Philip. Next week, we will see it is the Paracletus who will convict the hating world of their sin and righteousness and judgment. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to believe that. What do you mean sin? Sin and righteousness and judgment. And the word is convict you. I really believe seeing your sin is to be alive. If you're not alive, you don't see it. Because without seeing sin, you don't see the cross. You don't see any atonement. You don't see what salvation is. Right? Without seeing sin, without the Paracletos, we are in complete slavery of sin, in rebellion against God, and sin reigns in you. That's you. Instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with sin. Okay? And without Christ and Paracletos, no one is righteous before the impending judgment of God. And the cross is the judgment if you put your faith in Him. Okay. Now the Paracletos teaches about judgment. Paracletos is the one that we need to rely upon. I want to share one quote by John MacArthur, and which I think it sums up everything. You know from the history, throughout the history of the true church, the testimony of the church has always been the testimony of the Son. Always, always. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, the reason for the book of the Revelation, John wrote, "It was me who bore witness about the word of God," that's Jesus, "and of the testimony of Jesus Christ." And in chapter 12, he repeats, "And the dragon was angry," Satan, that's Satan. "Satan was angry with the woman and went to make a war with the remnant of her seed." That's the believers in the church, right? The remnant of the church who kept the command of God. Hear the character of true believers and listen and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's Paracletus. In the grand scheme of things, brothers and sisters, it is all about Christ. Will your life testify Christ? Will your marriage testify Christ? Will you open your mouth and testify Christ? You know, I was preparing this morning and thinking, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." Paracletos will not be ashamed of Christ. There's no way. Without Paracletos, walking with a Paracletos and being filled with a Paracletos, we are a religious person with emptiness. And I share this one last time. Those of you who know Paracletos, walking with the Holy Spirit right now, may we deeply fall in love with Him and be obedient to Him. Okay, which I think it's going to stimulate the service. It's going to stimulate your marriage. Oh, I heard like yesterday when during the bridal shower, one of the questions is, "Sarah, you must," and someone wrote, "You must be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Amen. That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 5 says, because unless you're filled with your Holy Spirit, you will never submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. That'll never happen. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, you will. And therefore, your marriage will have true happiness that God intended as you testify the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really do believe it is true. Right? Parents, love your children. Do not exasperate them. Children, honor your mother and father. How do you do that unless you understand what the Holy Spirit is? If you just love someone who loves you, who can't do that? But I think the gospel is, Christ loved me while I was a wretched sinner, isn't it? That's what the Holy Spirit convicts and speaks. And it is Parakletos that's going to make your life testifying Christ through everything, including your words and including your whole life. So may the Holy Spirit and Parakletos become real in your life. Let's pray.